Now, the concept of climate change and climate science may seem new, but in fact, people around the world have been gathering data and recording environmental milestones and climate patterns for many centuries, and their reasons for doing so were sometimes economic and sometimes religious. One scientist using that old data is John Magnuson. He's Director Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology. And John, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
So can you tell us about some of these hundreds of years old examples of climate science that you're using now, this data?
Well, there are two records that are really quite unique in terms of their length of human observation of a ice date, like a breakup of a river or a freeze of a lake. And one is a lake in Japan, Lake Suwa. And it's a religious record that was begun in 1443 and continues to the present time. The second record is a torn river in the border between Sweden and Finland, and that was begun in 1693 and continued to the present time. So these two records, one has almost 600 years of data and the other 300. The people who did this were not climate scientists. I'm sure the climate science was not even in their thought processes, but they've been very useful for analyzing direct observations of two variables that are greatly correlated with climate and climate variability.
So taking that example of the Japanese lake and the ice ridges on Lake Suwa, you said it was, why would someone have been keeping track of that for hundreds of years?
Well, it's a Shinto tradition. And the Shinto tradition, the story is that there's a male shrine on one side of the lake and a female shrine on the other. And the male god would, when ice formed on the lake, would walk across the lake, and it formed ice ridges, which we see on our lakes all the time. But they called them Omowatari, and they thought they were evidence that the male god had gone to visit the female god, and they had a ceremony, a religious ceremony on the lake. Now, you have to remember that in 1443, Columbus had not yet discovered America. The Gutenberg Bible hadn't been published yet. And so religious traditions and beliefs were very dominant and used to explain natural phenomena around them.
And then looking at the Finland example you were talking about, the breakup of the river ice in Finland, what have we learned about that?
Well, that record goes for about 320 years. And it was a record was originally started for essentially economic reasons, desire to know when you can move across the ice for things like that and catch fish. And it has been maintained by the people who live in the valley of that river. Actually, it's been maintained by people on both sides of the valley. One side is Sweden, the other side is Finland.
And how did you first find out about these? These can't be things that you would be able to easily access by Googling them, for example.
Well, if you Google them today, you'd find some wonderful blogs that were written after we published a paper in Nature Scientific Reports recently on these two lakes. In the 1990s, I received money from the National Science Foundation to have and call together scientists from around the world that had been studying ice seasonality on lakes and rivers. And we published a large number of papers on that, but the records were typically 150 to 160 or so years old. And one of those lakes is our own Lake Mendota. But in the record were these two really old records, you know, centuries longer records. And they really caught my attention because, first of all, both began before the onset of the Industrial Revolution. So we had direct observations by people before the Industrial Revolution and after the Industrial Revolution in both systems. And so it seemed to me a really unique, almost serendipitous resource to try to figure out what direct observations tell us about historic climates.
And what have you found? You've looked at this data, and obviously with an eye to climate change and what's changed between these records in the early years and now, and what did you find?
Well, one of the things that we had anticipated and was clear as a bell, and that is that the rate of change and the loss of ice states and ice cover were greater after the start of the Industrial Revolution than before. And for Lake Sewell, it was very dramatic. After the Industrial Revolution began, there were 24 times faster than before the start of the Industrial Revolution. In the Finnish River, we were only twice as fast, but in both cases, they were clearly faster after the start of the Industrial Revolution. And the key is that they were based on direct human observation rather than inferred from other kinds of information.
So you're marking the Industrial Revolution as when things accelerated. I think of climate change as something that is more recent than that. Why do you think it started then?
Well, the science of climate and climate change is that the warming is caused by an increase in carbon dioxide and greenhouse gas in our atmosphere. And when the Industrial Revolution began, we started to use a carbon-based economy and burn more coal. And now oil and natural gas. And so it actually had its roots much earlier than the recent thoughts and talk about it that's been so prevalent over the last 50 years.
So is this an example about why it's important to keep records?
Well, it is. And there's a counterpart to those kind of records today, what you might call citizen science. A lot of people that live around a lake or along a river are now interacting through our Department of Natural Resources with the state and making observations on that lake over time. And they will, as time unfolds, with the citizen science, discover whether the lake is warming. They will discover whether the lake is getting greener. And so human observations are still very valuable and can be very useful for people who live on and are trying to make decisions about the use of water.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was John Magnuson, Director Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology. He joined us to talk about the age-old climate data that's informing his study of climate change today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.